It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
We now call it Spygate. You're calling it Spygate. A lot of bad things have happened. I want them all to get together. They'll sit in a room. Hopefully, they'll be able to work it out among themselves. We're not undercutting. We're cleaning everything up. What I want is I want total transparency.
Any meeting between the Justice Department and Capitol Hill about such information should only be attended by members of the Gang of Eight.
I don't care who comes. I'm not in control of the invite list.
Well, there you go. That was the voice of President Trump, Chuck Schumer, the minority leader in the Senate, and then Trey Gowdy, who serves on the Oversight Committee in the House. And they're talking about this meeting that's taking place today with the president and Chairman Devin Nunes. Actually, I don't think the president's going to be at this meeting. It's Devin Nunes, House Oversight Committee Chairman Trey Gowdy, Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, and the Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats. But that's not the only meeting that's taken place this week. There was an earlier meeting on Monday that I mentioned to you, but maybe not in enough detail. It was a meeting with the President and the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, and FBI Director Christopher Wray. And in that meeting, they discussed what to do about this new information that there was a spy in the Trump campaign, at least one and maybe more. And now we know that there was sort of a setup of at least three of Trump's advisors, however loosely you describe that. So it really is becoming a very serious issue. And in that meeting on Monday, they decided that the Attorney General expanded the work of the investigator who's getting ready to release his report on how the Justice Department dealt and the FBI dealt with the investigation of Hillary Clinton's email. He's getting ready to release that, and now they've expanded his work to include whether indeed there was some political motivation from the FBI and other sources in terms of spying on the Trump camp. So did that actually happen? So the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, is taking that on now. So now there's another meeting. They also agreed that White House Chief of Staff John Kelly would set up a meeting with congressional leaders to review highly classified and other information they have requested. And I think that's the meeting that's taking place today. So now you hear Chuck Schumer, oh, that should be the Gang of Eight should be doing that. Well, the Gang of Eight is about as trustworthy as, you know, the Senate Intelligence Committee led by Richard Burr, which has a terrible reputation, one of the most corrupt entities in the Senate. So in another clip, I think it was, I don't know if it's Trey Gowdy, someone made this statement. Look, they can come if they can keep their mouth shut. If they can come and look at this stuff without leaking it, they could come. But we can't trust them to do that. In fact, my understanding is Adam Schiff has been the chief leaker in the House. You know, he's been the one that countered Devin Nunes. And when they set Devin Nunes aside, accusing him of leaking classified information, remember this has been going on for a long time. Remember when Devin Nunes went to the White House executive offices and found out about all this stuff for the very first time and came out and did a press conference? It was out at that press conference that the left in the House, that's all of them, all the Democrats in the House, accused him of leaking classified information and put him under investigation. And so they just shut him up for months. They kept him quiet. And so Adam Schiff then steps forward, and he's the minority leader. And, of course, he is a dubious character and not trustworthy. And so it was derailing the investigation for months. And then Devin Nunes finally just said, I've had it. I'm coming out again. And he has been a fearless bulldog on these issues since that time. But we're not dealing with people that are speaking the truth. We're dealing with people who are intent on the destruction of this president. But more importantly, even more importantly than that, although that's pretty important, it's what he stands for, which is what many of us stand for. That's what they have to stop at all costs. They have to stop it. And so John Roberts, in his own special way, tells the story about the president's view of this being spying. Let's listen.
Leaving the White House today, President Trump let fly on what he is now calling Spygate.
It looks like a very serious event, but we'll find out. When they look at the documents, I think people are going to see a lot of bad things happen. I hope it's not so, because if it is, there's never been anything like it in the history of our country.
President Trump claims the FBI may have been spying on his campaign after a confidential informant had contact and meetings with three Trump campaign officials, Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, and Sam Clovis. In a meeting Monday, President Trump told Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and FBI Director Christopher Wray to work out how they could get documents related to the informant and the FISA request to surveil Page to congressional investigators.
We now call it Spygate. You're calling it Spygate. A lot of bad things have happened. I want them all to get together. They'll sit in a room. Hopefully they'll be able to work it out among themselves.
At that meeting tomorrow, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes, Government Oversight Chairman Trey Gowdy, Ed O'Callaghan from the Department of Justice, FBI Director Christopher Wray, and Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats. No Democrats invited. The Senate Minority Leader today insisted Congressman Nunes is trying to interfere with the Russia investigation and put the blame for that squarely on Paul Ryan's shoulders.
Speaker Ryan is allowing this to happen. It will forever be a blot on his record. He can't be so afraid of the hard right and the president that he would allow this kind of banana republic behavior to go forward.
Congressman Gowdy today said it's okay with him if Democrats attend.
I don't care who comes. I'm not in control of the invite list. If you're going to show up with an open mind and closed lips. In other words, don't leak like a sieve when we get through with the meeting.
Well, see, there you go. That was who said that was Trey Gowdy. Oh, but now this is really funny because Chuck Schumer is blasting Paul Ryan. That's really, he's doing that. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. You know I always laugh when I shouldn't. That he's doing that because Paul Ryan is so weak. He is so weak. Shall we say weak? And he knows that if he criticizes him publicly, well, he might actually cave because, you know, he cannot stand the heat. And so that's the strategy. I actually don't think Paul Ryan's going to cave on this because he's got enough people around him that are saying the right things to him that even his own leadership team, I think, would have trouble if he backed off in his support of moving forward with Devin Nunes in this investigation. But notice how John presents that, what the president calls, what he calls Spygate. And President Trump claims that the FBI may have spied on him. Well, interesting. You know, James Clapper was on, I think it was The View, and of course, he was the director of national intelligence under Obama, and he admitted that there were people in the camp, but they weren't looking at President Trump's campaign. They weren't spying. They were trying to figure out if there was Russian collusion. And so that reminds me of another congressman, a Democratic congressman, Denny Heck, who was on with Harris Faulkner on Fox, claiming that we should be grateful that they were spying on the president. Let's listen to clip six.
The Department of Justice and the FBI had before them credible information that there was Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. And as a consequence, they engaged in certain activities that, had they not done so, could have only been characterized as a dereliction of duties, Harris. That's the bottom line. It is a violation of federal law for a foreign government to interfere in our election. It is a violation of federal law for an American to knowingly conspire or coordinate with a representative or an agent on behalf of a foreign government to interfere in our election. The Department of Justice was doing their job. You should be grateful. I am grateful. The American people are grateful.
Well, I'm only grateful when people answer my questions as a journalist.
Harris Faulkner, good response, Harris. All right, here's the thing, and this is what's happening now. Just expect this. that the left is now going to characterize this. Well, yeah, yes, we were, you know, actually we were infiltrating. We did infiltrate the Trump campaign, but really, you should be glad because we were just trying to ferret out, you know, the interference of the Russians, the potential interference, and we were doing the country's bidding. We were following the law. Problem is, you know, they didn't inform President Trump or candidate Trump at the time that the Russians may have been trying to manipulate things. They might have let him know, but no. Instead, they pay $3,000 to this 24-year-old advisor and set him up in a meeting in England, as I've described earlier in the week several times now, paid him $3,000 and then fed him the information that the Russians had Hillary's email, and then set him up with a meeting with the Russian Australian ambassador in a London bar, got him drunk, and then he tells, this George Papadopoulos tells the Australian ambassador that, did you know that I'm understanding that the Russians have Hillary Clinton's email? And so then the Australian ambassador feels it bound, duty bound, to contact American authorities and let them know that a Trump campaign person has told him that the Russians have Hillary Clinton's email. Of course, now we know that Downer, who was the Australian ambassador, was a huge donor to the Hillary Clinton Foundation, to the Clinton Foundation. So it's just so sticky, icky. But, you know, they were just doing it to help us, so don't get confused. Now, Cheryl Atkinson has been covering this faithfully, and I want to read just part of it. This is from The Hill, and it's called Eight Signs Pointing to a Counterintelligence Operation Deployed Against Trump's Campaign. I want to read just a few points of it, and we'll post this on our Facebook page because I'd like for you, I suggest that you read all of it. She says, for one thing, there was a code name. They actually had a code name, and it was called Crossfire Hurricane. So it sounds like it was like something that they were setting up as a counterintelligence operation. Then what she calls wiretap fever. Secret surveillance was conducted on no fewer than seven Trump associates. Steve Bannon, Michael Cohen, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort, Carter Page, and George Papadopoulos. The FBI reportedly applied for a secret warrant in June of 2016 to monitor Manafort, Page, Papadopoulos, and Flynn. And if true, it means the FBI targeted Flynn 6 months before his much-debated conversation with Russia's ambassador Sergei Kislyak. She goes on to say, electronic surveillance was used to listen in on three Trump transition officials at Trump Tower, Flynn, Bannon, and Kushner, as they met with the United Arab Emirates Crown Prince. They also wiretapped Flynn's phone conversation with Kislyak as part of what they call routine surveillance of Kislyak. It goes on, let's say, unmasking. She talks about media strategy. Let me skip to that one. Former CIA Director John Brennan and James Clapper, two of the most integral intel officials in this ongoing controversy, have joined national news organizations where they have regular opportunities to shape the news narrative, including on the very issues under investigation. Clapper reportedly secretly leaked salacious political opposition research against Trump to CNN in the fall of 2017 and later was hired as a CNN political analyst. In February, Brennan was hired as a paid analyst for MSNBC. That's just a very small portion of Cheryl's article, but I just commend it to you. Senator Chuck Grassley is demanding now the Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, text message redactions to be removed because there's great suspicion that the FBI redacted them just to protect themselves and their own motives. FBI agents now are coming out of the woodwork asking for subpoenas, asking please issue a subpoena so we can tell you what's going on and what was going on behind the scene at the Bureau. So that kind of that's kind of an overview of some of the things that are happening. Now, next, I'd like to do this. I'd like to open the phone lines, and also I want to talk about some of your email and Facebook posts, okay? So that's what we're going to do today. There's a lot to talk about, lots going on in the news, but you knew that, right? Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We're open to talk about most anything if you have a really good point to make, and you're not just trying to vent or preach or whatever, you fill in the blank. But good comments we want. 888-589-8840.
Hi, I'm Will Addison.
And I'm Miki.
From Airing the Addisons on Urban Family Talk.
We'd like to invite you to the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference coming up August 17th and 18th.
The list of speakers is amazing. We have Ryan Baumberger of the Radiance Foundation, Dr. Clarence Shuler of Building Lasting Relationships, Abraham Hamilton III, Pastor Bert Harper and his wife Jan, Stacy Washington, Lonnie Poindexter, Pastor Dexter Sanders, and we'll be there too.
There's a direct attack by the enemy on marriage and family, and babies in the womb are treated like political footballs instead of life. We want to encourage and equip the body of Christ to fight for the restoration of the family. If we can get our families on track, a lot of society's problems could be solved. The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is from Urban Family Communications, a division of the American Family Association. You can learn more and register at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Come join Sandy Rios for a walk back in time when she was a young grieving mom, discovering firsthand how God's strength is made perfect in weakness. The music of Sasha's song, Sandy Rios' first album project, is a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Would God sustain us through the years?
Produced by John Ennis of the Billy Graham Crusade with members of the Indianapolis Orchestra, this beautiful music will lift your heart.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in the flood of doubt and pain. For He is able.
Available on CD at afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The other day, I was on a packed subway car heading into the Fox News corner of the world. At one stop, a mother boarded the train, feeding a baby in one hand while juggling a toddler and a giant baby stroller with the other. I watched in disgust as grown men slumped in their seats, refusing to budge. So I stepped in, offered to look after the giant baby stroller while another passenger assisted with the toddler. But not a single man offered up his seat. It was inconsiderate, downright shameful. Look, I'm old school. I was raised to say yes, ma'am, and hold the door open for ladies. I know it may not be politically correct. I know some will call me a sexist pig. Others will say I'm infected with toxic masculinity. But it still does not sway my opinion that when a lady steps into a packed subway car, the men who are sitting should stand up and offer their seat. It's the manly thing to do, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. And, man, we've been getting some great comments from you. I always do. And I do read them, even though I don't mention them as often as I'd like to, because I'm trying to give you so much news. You know that. So, but I do appreciate your Facebook comments, even all of them, actually, even when they're, you know, whatever they are, fill in the blanks. They're insightful, and they give me, they kind of challenge me, and that's good. And we're also going to open the phone lines today, so just hang on a minute, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840 is the number. This is from Rebecca. You know, we're in the middle of primary season, and I've been begging you, probably you're tired of it, but I am begging you to get active in your states and pay attention. This is from Rebecca, who did that. She's from McKinney, Texas. She said, I have taken action and per your request and voted in Texas for my conservative candidate, Jim Pikel. Looks like P-I-K-L. Also, I've contacted my representative, Sam Johnson, to request that he nominate and support Jim Jordan for the next Speaker of the House. Wow, Rebecca. God bless you. Good for you. Then she also says, there's a Texas Values. Oscar Sins is with Texas Values, and they have a they have the voter guides of Texas candidates. So she's recommending it. It's txvalues.org. txvalues.org. So check it out, those of you in Texas, for some additional information about your candidates, because you have so many down there that probably, I'm guessing, the AFA guide may not cover all of those elections. It's afaaction.net for many of the elections in the primaries. But that sounds, for those of you in Texas, check that txvalues.org about. And Rebecca, God bless you for getting busy and taking responsibility. You are a great example. And if anything's going to turn this country around, it will be people like you. This is from Sheila. She says, Sandy, heard your podcast today and your program touched my heart, for my family has been affected by suicide too. This was my interview, I'm sure, with the mother of the girl who killed herself after binge-watching 13 Reasons Why, the Netflix series that we have been asking, begging Netflix not to air a second year on. So she heard that interaction, and she says, my brother committed suicide in 2014, and it was devastating. My heart broke. A few weeks after his passing, I decided to watch one of his favorite TV programs in an effort to feel some closeness to him. So I began to watch Breaking Bad. I hardly watch TV programs and had only heard of this program a couple of times before when the season ended and Jay Leno made reference to it as though it was a great program. I never imagined that the opening scene of this program was of the star committing suicide. The rest of the season was about what got him to that place. And then I decided to listen to his favorite band, Nirvana. Their music glorified death, too. Sadly, through my experience of trying to draw close to my brother, I learned that he was feeding a terrible hopeless thought life with the shows and music he watched. We must be careful on what we meditate on. And she, of course, quotes Psalm 1, happy is the blessed is the man who does not sit at the seat of scoffers, but you know the verse, and he listens to God's word, he meditates on it day and night. And that's, so she's right, man. She is, Sheila, you are so right. It matters what we fill our minds with. It matters. And you know what? We are not helpless victims to that. This is something I learned a long time ago. You are not a helpless victim to suggestive lyrics and music that cause you to start thinking about other people besides your mate. You are not helpless victims to pornography, gentlemen, as you peruse the internet. You are not helpless victims to romance novels, ladies, if you're filling your mind with that. And you kids, you're not helpless victims. You know, that's why we're supposed to take captive our thoughts. Control as much as we can. Look, you can have thoughts and ideas that would be things that you would not think, that just horrible things that you just think, where did that come from? I'm not saying you never have that, but I am saying that you can control what goes into your mind and it will affect your thinking. And so, Sheila, thanks for that warning. This is from Shayla. She says, I have a question about a coworker. We both work in a doctor's office, both medical people. I'm trying to make this as anonymous as I can. My friend has worked here a couple of years, but yesterday she shared that she may have to go back to her home country, El Salvador, when her temporary status runs out. She was sent here on an airplane when she was 4. She has 2 younger siblings who are here legally because they were born here. She's a hard worker, no criminal record. She's spoken with attorneys, and they tell her she wants to stay. She needs to get married. She said, Shayla says, I believe in borders and protecting our country, but now I have a new perspective on people that were kids that were brought over. She said her parents were fearful for their own lives, and so they came over desperate for safety. She's made a safe life for herself and works hard. We love her and don't want to see her deported. And then she adds this personal stuff. My husband, I'm going to keep this Shayla anonymous a little bit. I guess it's Facebook, so you shared this. My husband is from South Africa, and he's a citizen now. We've been married 8 years, and she said she remembers filling out all the paperwork. She said, why don't lawyers help my friend get refugee status? If you have any advice, let me know. So, Shayla, you're probably not going to really like what I'm going to say, but I think I need to say this because you're not the first person. I had somebody call me recently with a similar story. How can I help my friend stay here? And this is what, a couple of things on your friend. If they really did come from El Salvador because it was so violent and they were fearing for their lives, the asylum provision has been available for a long time. it doesn't work too well if you've been here for years and then suddenly say, I came here illegally because I was seeking asylum. So it's probably not a good argument, because if you were desperate and in danger, you might want to say that when you first got here. The other thing is, I just think you have to understand, these are the consequences that your friend's parents established because of their choices. It's not the fault of the American people. It's the fault of her parents. They brought their children and children-to-be into this country illegally. And the consequences are now that this friend of yours cannot stay because she's not here legally. That's not this country's fault, and it's her parents' fault. And that's what happens when parents break the law and they bring their kids over the border, or whatever the law breaking is, the children pay the price. And I would ask you this, just imagine if her parents had stolen someone's home, their wealth, and was maybe impersonating them, living in their home and living off all of the things that they had gained. And suddenly that family comes back and wants their rightful ownership. Well, the children had nothing to do with taking that. Nothing to do with taking the house, nothing to do with taking the wealth, but they've lived there, but they've been raised there. So by your logic, then, they should be allowed to keep this other family's home and all of their wealth because they lived there and they were raised there and they were innocent. Of course, the answer is no. The answer is that it still belongs to the family that owned it and the wealth that they had, whatever they had accumulated, and it should return to them. And just because you're the child and innocent doesn't mean that you get to keep it. And so I don't know, the answer is that she needs to go back to El Salvador and apply to come back to the United States. That's the legal thing to do. And we have to think about what works for our country, not how we can accommodate every illegal person who came to this country, no matter how sympathetic. I know that sounds really tough. I don't blame you for having sympathy for her, but her parents. It's their fault. It's not the American, it's not the citizens of America who are at fault for this or should be blamed if she's not allowed to stay. All right, this is from Rebecca. She said, Netflix. She said, I signed that petition to take down the 13 Reasons Why series. She said, don't forget Netflix has parental controls. We have settings on our set for PG only. Anything rated for older audiences cannot be viewed without a password. And she says, I'm the only one who has that password. Please mention to parents to be proactive and use all the available controls on any media outlets that offer those options. Great suggestion, Rebecca. Since I don't have little kids anymore, I don't pay attention to that. And that's a great suggestion. Gwen says, thank you so much for covering the royal wedding. A fresh fire from the Holy Spirit was set aflame for 45 million people. All right, so I want to then move to the next set because they have a different opinion about that. This is from Marie. She said, do you know what Michael Curry was the black bishop, head of the Episcopal Church in America, who preached the wedding, who I said gave the gospel and was very happy that he gave the gospel. So she says, do you not know what Curry stands for? Gay marriage. And then Aaron pointed out Liberty Daily has a different take on Michael Curry's speech at the royal wedding. And then this is from Deborah. She said, Bishop Curry was kindly let Sandy know that the Bishop Michael Curry she was honoring this morning with her words is actually a supporter of homosexual marriage. I thought all of his talk about love was encompassing everyone, and that meant to me, well, all is okay and God loves everyone no matter what. There's a lot more, but it's worthwhile to check things out. Please mention this to her and ask her to discuss it, that she is not for homosexual marriage, and he is not to be praised. Sandy spoke about the Episcopal Church, but it seems not at all to agree with Bishop Curry. I wish her staff would check things out. All right, so I'm glad you brought this up, ladies and gentlemen, so it gives me a chance to explain something and to teach a little teaching here. Do you think it's possible? Let me ask all of you who are concerned about I thought Michael Curry preached the gospel at Harry and Meghan Merkel's wedding, and I believe he did. He laid it out about Jesus' sacrifice for all men because of God's love for the world. He laid that out very clearly. He did not praise homosexual marriage, mention it, say anything about it. So that's what he did. I'm asking if you think it's possible to praise someone for doing something they did or said without embracing everything they do or have ever done. So in other words, the criticism, look, and I don't take this personally, this is kind of a debate going on in the evangelical world right now after that message. So you can't praise or point out someone giving the gospel, even if in their preaching they preach a lot of apostasy, including gay marriage, but they didn't in that moment. In that moment, they actually gave the gospel message. Let me ask you to just think about for a second. You know, the Bible tells us that God once used Balaam's donkey to speak the truth to the people around him. It was a donkey. And many of us have often said, you know, I'm just Balaam's donkey. God uses unexpected people to preach his word in unexpected ways. And so, of course I don't embrace gay marriage and I don't embrace everything that Michael Curry does. In fact, I reject it. And by the way, the Episcopal Church, the last person who just wrote about this, said something about the Episcopal Church doesn't agree with Michael Curry. The Episcopal Church of America is a mess. It's a mess. The Book of Common Prayer is very solid biblically, but the Episcopal Church of America is disgraceful. And so I'm guessing that Michael Curry is right in line with him on the issue of homosexual marriage. I'm not a loving Michael Curry and everything that he does, but what he did on that day was great. It reminded me very much of Ground Zero. At Ground Zero, when it was dedicated after 9/11, when they finally finished the project, there were all these, you know, no Christian prayers, no pastors, all these rules and regulations, which were just making me crazy, to be honest with you. No scripture, no Christian scripture, no anything. Nothing. It's all, we don't want any Christian influence at that service. And so I found it, I listened to it, and I was just already upset and disturbed by that. But President Obama, the atheist, and he is, who claims to be a Christian, but he isn't. He's a Marxist atheist. Got up, and he was then allowed to give scripture, and I want you to hear it. Here's clip 7.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
That blew me away. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. So out of the mouth of President Obama, who was complicit in forbidding prayer and Christian expressions and scripture, we had the Almighty God stating that he was present and he will be exalted among the nations, spoken by a man who does not know the God that we serve. Just another example. God can use Balaam's donkey to preach his truth in any kind of situation. I'll be right back with your phone calls.
A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Ashley LaMoth got her first job with Chick-fil-A when she was just 15 years old. She used her earnings there to buy her first car. She continued working for the company while attending Spelman College. At 26, Ashley has now moved to Los Angeles to become the franchise owner of the restaurant's first ever downtown Los Angeles location, making her one of the franchise's youngest owners in history. Her new 6,500-square-foot restaurant will occupy two stories, from employee to business owner. Diligence pays.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The American Family Association invites you to a very special gathering of AFA friends from across America this fall at the Big Cedar Lodge in the Ozarks. The AFA retreat will be a relaxing time of fellowship and inspiration. Speakers include Sandy Rios, Dr. Ray Pritchard, Todd Starnes, Abraham Hamilton III, and Ed Vitagliano, and Dennis Jernigan will lead us in worship. Experience all of this in a beautiful setting that dates back to the 1920s, built originally to be a wilderness retreat for a prominent Missouri family. We hope you'll join us October 8th through the 11th at the rustic Big Cedar Lodge, just south of Branson on Table Rock Lake. It promises to be a refreshing time of worship, teaching, fellowship, and fun. To register or for more information, visit afafoundation.net. Seating is limited, so register today. Hope to see you there.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last week, the House Intelligence Committee held a profoundly important hearing about Communist China's ominous military buildup. Witnesses called particular attention to the danger posed by the Chinese seizure of one-time atolls all over the South China Sea that are now home to armed ports, airfields, and missile installations designed to enforce Beijing's claim to those strategic waters. The Obama administration did nothing about this disastrous transformation, a part that is from allowing China's warships to participate in sensitive multilateral naval exercises known as RIMPAC. It thereby effectively legitimated Beijing's illegal and threatening activities, while affording the PRC opportunities to collect intelligence about and develop techniques for defeating U.S. and allied warships. Thankfully, the Trump Pentagon has just ended this insanity, barring China from RIMPAC 2018. We can't afford to treat the Chinese as friends when they are increasingly behaving as enemies. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, Sandy Rios back with you. We're going to go right to the phones. I just want to tell you, heads up, tomorrow, an incredible interview with Adam Lovinger. I know you don't recognize that name, but he is one of the many people brought into the Trump White House. He was brought in by General Michael Flynn and then targeted for destruction. He's got three little kids. He's a professor at Georgetown Law. He's got a great resume. He spent 12 years prior to this at the Pentagon. Great record, highest of honors and accolades. And suddenly they stripped him of his security clearance and are after him. They have been for the last year and a half. And last week, they took away his job and his salary. So I want you to hear his story because I want you to know how bad the deep state really is and the human toll that's resulting from the nefarious actions of the deep state. So that's our interview tomorrow with Adam Lovinger. All right, let's go right to the phones. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Ellen in Arkansas. Good morning, Ellen.
Hi, Sandy. Thank you so much for taking my call. First, I want to encourage you with the Bishop Curry remark in Philippians chapter 1. I want to remind you that Paul is saying that some are preaching Christ from envy and strife. Down in verse 18, he says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this, yes, I rejoice. I will rejoice." So that's what you were doing.
Yes. Thank you, Ellen. Yep.
I was at a watch party the other night and talking with some friends about the Democrats' label, hashtag resist. And we're like, we need a label to come up to counter that and get our message out. And my husband said, you know, responding in the opposite spirit, which is what Jesus did, he said, how about serve? Hashtag serve. And then we were talking and we're like, yeah, because we're the conservatives. But can I ask one more question? Will the IG report be delayed now that they are adding this investigation? I think the investigation, the Clinton emails, is that what it is?
Yes, I actually don't think so, Ellen. I don't know. I mean, no one's told me that specifically, but I really don't. I think any day now, the Michael Horowitz report on how the FBI and the Justice Department handled Hillary Clinton's email will be out, and I think that's going to be separate. Okay?
Okay, good. I don't want to see that delayed.
No, I know. Okay, Ellen, thanks for listening. Kathy in Texas, good morning. Hey, Kathy, are you there? Okay. Well, we're going to go to Charlie in Texas. Hey, Charlie. Is it Charlie or Charlene?
Charlinda.
Okay, Charlinda.
Hi.
Good morning.
I'm okay. How are you this morning?
Good.
I wanted to say that I know that you had John Guandolo on, was it yesterday? And yeah. I have had the pleasure of being in one of his eight-hour trainings about the Muslim Brotherhood and the deep state and all of the things that are going on in Washington. And I just wondered how badly you think or how deeply you feel that George Soros is embedded in all of this stuff that's going on, for lack of a better word.
Well, okay, Charlinda, I'm gonna let you go and respond to that. Thanks. Thank you for, John will appreciate knowing your kind words for him. It's understanding the threat. John Guandolo, who goes around the country training people about the inside, and mostly leaders and police and agents, FBI, and all kinds of people. So that was our interaction yesterday. And you can listen to that if you go to the Facebook or if you look for yesterday's show. Let me just say that George Soros, the Hungarian billionaire atheist who swore to spend everything he had to destroy this country back when George W. Bush was president. I mean, this is how long he's been here trying to do his wicked stuff. I don't know exactly, Charlinda, he's everywhere in just about everything. So I don't know how to give you a more specific answer. Whether it's in media or whether he's involved now in a lot of races in California. He's involved in the establishing the religious left, people that put on the cap of Christianity, but actually are wolves in sheep's clothing. He's into whatever will subvert and undermine the country. He's into it. So that's the best answer I can give you. Let's go back to Kathy in Texas. Kathy, let's try this again.
Hi.
Hey, Kathy.
Because I'm very ignorant of the subject and I'm trying to learn. What is the main reason, in a nutshell, that all of these illegal immigrants, for years, they've been able to go through the proper steps to become legal citizens? Is it they want to stay under the radar so they don't have to pay taxes and can get benefits? Or why haven't they've done something before now to gain that status? And then my second question is, to become a legal citizen, if all they have to do, for the most part, is get married, what's to keep them from getting married and 6 months later getting a divorce and now they're legal? I'm just trying to understand the whole,
Well, Kathy,
situation.
That's actually illegal. It's illegal, although lots of people do it. It is illegal to get married for the purpose of becoming a legal citizen. That is against the law. There used to be very strictly enforced. If you married somebody just to become a citizen, they would investigate that and you'd still be deported. Obviously, the reason that illegal immigrants don't come out and go and try to become legalized is because they are afraid they will be deported. And the reason it's gotten to this point, I don't know if you were asking this, but here's the reason. This started way back, and the first person I point to is Edward Kennedy, who changed immigration policy it used to be that we would only allow people in who were had skills, abilities to support themselves, who were also had connections here in the country, and could show that some entity could support them while they were here and making transition. And also, we were very careful that they learned American civics and government, learned the language before they became. So we had a very careful, really good system of immigration. Edward Kennedy spearheaded changing all of that. We need now, and Bill Clinton then took it further. What we need is now more unskilled, illiterate people from third world countries. It is, and of course, the excuse they gave was, this is certainly perfected under Barack Obama's administration, that the reason we've only allowed this small set of immigrants with these harsh restrictions was because we were racists and we didn't want brown people here. So now we must open immigration and our borders really to third world countries to show that we are, in fact, not a racist society. But of course, their end game was not that. As usual, they use the racist rhetoric in order to advance their political cause, which means bring in more people, which they shower with benefits at the border, with Obama phones, with you fill in the blank, and we will create more voters, and we will overwhelm the American patriots who are in this country who will never vote for socialism, which is what we want, who will never give us the control that we want. And so we're going to dilute the population. We're going to bring in more voters, and then we will gain more control. And it's been a very successful process. I remember when Bill Clinton was running for president, right before the election, they lined up thousands of people in Soldier Field in Chicago, my hometown, and did a mass swearing in to make them citizens right before the election. So I don't know. I'm sure that's not everything you want to know, Kathy, but that's a good thumbnail sketch of what's going on. I got to move on. Let me go to Ann in Alabama. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. Good morning. I can't thank you enough for educating me past 70 years of old age. I'm ashamed. One of the things that I have never seen anybody bring to light is what I saw on public broadcasting is President Putin standing before millions of his people, all his tanks, all his missiles, with one message. You see, democracy doesn't work. I wish somebody would resurrect that film, that video, those words, because they would see that he interfered anywhere and everywhere in countries throughout Europe and here in America for one reason, to keep the president for life. And Hillary made it easy, you know. Go ahead.
Well,
anyway,
I'm not. You mean what president? Yeah, Ann, what president are you speaking about when you say Putin wanted to make the president
Putin
safe for life? You mean his own presidency?
Putin. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Ma'am.
Okay, Ann, thank you. Thanks for that nice compliment. And listen, it's never too late to learn. We should always be learning until the day we die. So don't be embarrassed about just now learning some things. That means that you're really living a full life, that you are taking in new information at this point in your life, and now I know you're going to use it well. I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to answer your question. I think people need to understand, probably Ann knows this because of her age, that the Russians are still very influenced by communism, even though the Soviet Union broke up. They flailed so much and they went through such hardship that the people sort of then gravitated back to the communist method. and Putin represents it. He was the head of the KGB. And so the communists haven't gone away just because the Soviet Union broke up. And their whole thing has always been to spread communism. Like evangelical Christians want to talk about Jesus, they want to spread communism. And so they always infiltrate. Their purpose is always to subvert and overtake. That's the nature of communism. And so it's not a surprise that they're still doing that. They've been doing it for a long time. Most of the surprise is that people don't understand that. David in Louisiana. Good morning. Quickly, if you can, David.
Yes. Well, two things, actually. The clip you played on Obama making this speech, I'm really surprised this guy just didn't burst in flames, you know, with the words and what he truly doesn't believe in. But, again, just coming out of his mouth. Now, second point is the Democrats always said, well, we're going to take the information we find and follow it wherever it goes, no matter what. Now, isn't it ironic that everything is turning towards them, but now they don't want anything to be investigated and brought up to light?
Yeah, it is pretty funny. I mean, it really is funny. It really is like Haman's gallows, isn't it? It really.
If it's ironic or pathetic, you know, there's a fine line between the two, and they always seem to be on the pathetic side.
Well, of course, only God can cause people to trip over their own actions. I really
Absolutely.
Just feel like that. I do feel,
life.
Yes, I think that God is really at work, David. Yeah.
Short comment on Bishop Curry. You know, I was really surprised that they, in the lettering that they were showing, you know, Archbishop Curry, they didn't say African American. They just simply said American, which was very surprising but very refreshing. But I think what the emails that you were reading was referring to, every time, like, I can't recall his name, but past words that he said 20 years ago, I think he was berated, you know, for, again, his stand that he took 20 years ago. You know, I think
you mean Michael Curry?
A lot of the... No. I'm sorry for not clarifying. There was someone who was invited to do the prayer at some event, but because he had made mention, you know, standing for traditional marriage.
Obama's inauguration. Yeah, that was the evangelist from Georgia. I can't think of his name either. Yeah, it's a different standard, David. You know that. You're not surprised, I'm sure. Let me go to James in North Carolina. James, you have the last word, sir.
Yes. Well, I'm going to make it short and sweet. Look, these preachers, Obama and all those, they quote a little bit of God's scripture, and all of a sudden, everybody says, oh, they're so holy. The Bible warns us that Satan appears as an angel of light, and why wouldn't Satan's ministers pretend to be God's servants? Look, they're nothing but they're a bunch of jackleg preachers, a bunch of frauds. They're all a part of that UN Trojan horse mess that's bringing in all these foreign people. And that's all it is, to bring this nation down.
Yeah, James, interesting. You and I could talk a long time about some of the things you said there, but I do appreciate your comments. Thank you so much for calling. Yeah, that Barack Obama is quoting Psalm 46 at Ground Zero was just stunning to me. I just had chills. I thought, God, you're gonna make yourself known in spite of these leftists who thought they could leave you out. How amazing. You see, God can use Balaam's donkey. He can, and he did, and he has. All right, Adam Lovinger is my guest tomorrow, and you've got to hear the show. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio. American Family Radio.